That hymn always reminds me of my parents. I think it was their silver wedding anniversary, so that's going back 35 years. And somebody had spent a lot of time doing a lovely anniversary cake. And on top of it, they had printed this lovely text, biblical text. And everybody was making a great fuss of this cake. You know what they do? Honor the cake. Lovely cake, lovely cake. You also feel better take a photo of this lovely cake. And after about 10 minutes, my father was getting a bit frustrated. He said, "Doesn't it say feed on the word?" He was so desperate to get his hand. And yes, we are called to feed on the word of God. And what we're going to do in this next moment is we're going to look at the passage that Peter read from John chapter 21. And we're going to ask the question today, what does God want to say to us? Maybe as individuals, maybe as a church. What is God's word to us today? Have you stopped to think that God might actually want to speak into your life today? Maybe you rushed to church this morning and you're thinking, oh, I got here. I hope we've got some good hymns. I got my favourite song. Oh, and afterwards I must check if I can just book to see that person. And you come with that thing. But actually, God wants to talk to us through his holy word. We just sung that song, "Speak, O Lord." Is that our prayer today? Let's pray. Lord, speak. Whatever's prepared in my mind, whatever you've laid out, speak to us, Lord. Speak into our time and our situation. Speak into our hearts. But Lord, as we go from this place, we will know that we have heard a word for us from you. In Jesus' name, amen. In front of me, I've got the Wall of Hope, and those of you who are around at Easter know that the seven churches in the centre of Romford, it's a very biblical number for a number of churches, isn't it? The seven churches of Romford. Anyway, wonder what the letters of the seven churches of Romford would be, but maybe we don't want to know that. The seven churches of Romford all had one of these boards that was there on Good Friday, the Wall of Hope. Hope is such a powerful word, isn't it? Hope is just something that we hold on to. But when we go through massive time of change, hope is something we very easily let go of. Because we're confused by change or we're confused by life situations. It doesn't take much to knock us off our steadfast shore, we know where we're going. Maybe you've been on one of those journeys and you've been following your sat nav, but your sat nav has not picked up. The M25 is closed. Been there? And you're going along the M25 quite happily. It normally happens at night. And you're going along and it says, your sat nav says, you're only 35 minutes from home. And you think, end is in sight, and then you come with these great big crosses on the gantry, and you are being taken off on a diversion. And for the first three roundabouts, the diversion is clear, and then you get into a position where you think, I haven't the foggiest where I am now, and there's no more signs. And all your sat-nav wants to do is to take you back onto the road that you've just come off, which you know is closed. And you start to lose hope. To the disciples in John 21, there is an element of that going on. They had thought that they had the navigation of their lives sorted out. They had, 3 years earlier, heard Jesus' words, "Follow me." And they had obediently followed him. And for 3 years, they'd seen Jesus doing amazing things. And then, just a few weeks ago from this story, it had all gone wrong. The world had turned against Jesus. He was crucified. He died. But now, by the time we get to this story, they know he's risen again. They have seen him, but they're not sure what they must do. They're not sure what their next step is. It's all their life plan is in chaos. They are losing hope because they haven't got the life plan that they had. Maybe you're in that position yourself. You've got a life plan. And at the moment, the life plan is not going in the direction that you had anticipated. Maybe your life plan has been upset by something. It might not be your life plan. It might be your next week plan that's been upset. And you're thinking, what do I do? Well, accord this morning's message, rediscovering Jesus. Because in John chapter 21, we have there that sense that the disciples were not knowing where they're going, and Simon Peter, I like Simon Peter, the big mouth who opens his mouth just to change feet. And he just says, I'm going fishing. That sense, I've got to do something. I can't sit here and go stir crazy mad. I'm going fishing. Fishing is something he's familiar with. He was a fisherman before he met Jesus. Jesus called him from the boats. Do you remember that about Simon Peter? And now Jesus is no longer there. What does he do? I'm going back to what is familiar. I'm going back to something I can understand. I'm going back to what I know best. But what he does not realize, that as he steps back into the what he knows best, Jesus is going to meet him there. Jesus is going to meet him there. Well, the story as you read it in John chapter 21 is one where a professional fisherman goes out onto the sea. He spends all night fishing and catches nothing. Those of you who know me know that I actually come from the southwest of England, Torquay. And when I was young, before I knew Vicky, life changed when I met her. But before I knew her, on a Saturday, I would go down to the pier in Torquay and I would be throwing my rod to catch some mackerel for tea. And occasionally I caught some. And I'd take it home, and we would eat it. It was lovely. And my mum was happy, providing I gutted it. However, more often than not, I went home empty-handed. I don't know why I did the same things. I used the same crab bait that I always did. I cast off from the same place. I was as patient as always. Not very. Occasionally a mackerel would come and I would have that, but more often than not, I wasted a morning watching this float on the sea doing nothing. And I went home empty-handed. Fishing is one of those things. And for Simon Peter, the professional fisherman, spent all night and caught nothing. And then this bloke on the seashore started to give directions. Can you imagine how that felt? That voice from over there, Simon Peter, a professional fisherman, he knew what he was doing, and this bloke on the seashore said, put the nets over the other side. I wonder how often we ignore a voice from the margins. Maybe we ignore it because we always know better. Maybe we ignore it because we don't want to be put out. And maybe that voice is a voice of another person, but sometimes it's that voice within us. And we're ignoring it because actually I know best. And Peter, there, for some reason, chose to listen to this voice. And as doing so, saw an enormous catch of fish. I'm going to just pause for a moment. I believe God might be saying to somebody here, are you listening to my voice? And if you are listening, are you obeying? Because I want to bless you, says God. But you need to hear my voice. You need to hear my voice. That's not the voice of Ian. His voice is annoying. The voice of God. Is it speaking to you today? Can you hear it? Or are you so busy in your own confidence that you know what you're doing that you're missing the very voice that wants to take you to a new place? Is it time you rediscovered the voice of God, the power of God, into your busyness, into your chaos? Is it time you rediscovered that God actually wants a relationship with you that's not based upon what happened before, but based upon the reality of the here and now? The story in John 21 continues. And as we know, they catch this fish. And then the disciple who Jesus loved. I always think this is interesting in John's writing. He always describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, as if Jesus didn't love all the disciples. But this is this way he describes himself in the passage. It was John who recognized the voice and said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. John recognized the work of God and he immediately told Simon Peter, look, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It was John who recognized the power of God and saw it for himself. And maybe we need to sometimes hear the voice of somebody else pointing out to us, it's God who's speaking to you. It's God who's working in your life. It's God who's doing something. It is the Lord. And then you see the contrast of the personality types in this. John recognizes it and says to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter, as soon as he heard it, he wrapped his outer garment round him and he went for Jesus. He jumped into the water. He was on his way to see Jesus for himself. The Lord, often when the Lord is written in your Bibles, particularly when it's all in capitals, it's the Hebrew word Yahweh that comes from that passage in the Old Testament of Moses at the burning bush, and he says, "Who do I say send me?" And it's that description where God says, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be." And the recognizing of the word Lord is recognizing that God is going to be all we need, but he will always be who he needs to be. And he is. And so as we have this very statement of John, "It is the Lord," what does it mean? It means it's the one who's in charge, the one who's sovereign, the one who is over all. In our elitism within British culture, you have those who call Lord something or other, don't you? In the House of Lords. We recognize in the Bible the word Lord is someone who is far greater, far more powerful. There is only one Lord. As our song says, there is only one Lord, there is only one King. And this recognizing of John and Peter's response is recognizing that Jesus is not just a friend, Jesus is not just a good man, but Jesus is the one who is in charge, the one who is above all things, the one who is sovereign, the one who is Lord. Let me stop again before I go on to the next point. Who do you say Jesus is to you today? Who do you say he is in your life? Is he Lord? Or is he just a good man? If you heard somebody saying, "It's the Lord here," what would your response be? "I better get out of the way because I don't want him affecting my life. I don't want him being in charge." Or would you let him and want him to be in charge, to be Lord of your life? In our English language, we have this term, somebody lording over us, somebody who's taking undue power over us. And we don't like that, do we? When people are lording over us. But there is one who should be lording over us, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the all-powerful, the almighty. It is the Lord. In this church, our prayer is the Lord is sovereign over all. In our lives, our prayer should be the Lord is sovereign over us. You see, the very description of Jesus being Lord is recognizing he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he is the one who stilled the storm. This is what the disciples had seen for him. He had stilled the storm. He had raised the dead. He had fed 5,000. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He made the blind see. He made the lame walk. He walked on water. And now he has produced a mighty catch of fish. This Lord is powerful. This Lord is amazing. And this Lord is the one who Simon Peter had devoted his life to. But we also saw in the last part of the story of Jesus on trial, Simon Peter took some of it back when he said of Jesus, I do not know you. Yet his confidence in Jesus was, even though there was this unfinished business, he had said the last time he had met with Jesus, I do not know him. He still had confidence when he heard of the Lord to run to him, to be with him. And so my third pause is, your relationship with Jesus broken? Is your relationship with Jesus broken? Are you keeping your distance because you know you have broken the relationship? Jesus invites you back. There's no fear. The arms of our loving Lord are welcoming us. We don't need to keep our distance from Jesus. Is today the day you return? Is today the day you're going to put right your relationship that has been broken? Simon Peter, he heard a voice. That voice of Jesus speaking into his life. That voice caused him to make a change. That change brought blessing. That blessing brought the revelation of who Jesus was again. And he rushed to meet. And now they sit down. There's a meal together. Jesus loved to eat with his disciples. He loved food with them. But this is no ordinary meal. This is a sacred meal. This is the reuniting. And something amazing and special took place. We don't know where the bread came from that's cited in this story. It's interesting, isn't it? The fishermen had gone for fish, but there was some bread. Did Jesus bring the bread or not? We don't know. But we do know that Jesus loves to work with bread and fish. And a crowd is no challenge for him in that. And Jesus took the bread and fish and did amazing. He spent time with his friends. He lived life with those he loved and who loved him. Bread and fish. Bread and wine, symbols of hope. And his resurrected body himself was eating, like he did at the end of a trip to Emmaus, as he did in so many places. And so, where are you? Where are you? Are you lost and your life plan being blown out of the water and you're needing to discover it again? Are you hearing the voice, a familiar or an unfamiliar voice, that's speaking into your life? Will you obey that voice? If you discern it from God. And then obeying it, will you see the blessing that God wants to pour upon you as he reveals himself afresh to you as Lord and King? Will you run to him? Run to him. be blessed by him. You spend life with him. Recognize today, God wants us to rediscover Jesus. Rediscover Jesus.